frame of mind that you're in. And the Pasuk is saying to do both. You should do Ivdes Hashem, and you should also do it B'Simcha. Now that's something which we don't always check with ourselves. If I say to you, serve Hashem, you'll say to me, okay, what do I have to do? What does the Shulchan Aruch say? I'll do it. But we don't always think to ourselves, and what mindset do I have to be in? It's two different topics. There's one of what is my body doing, and there's a second one of what are my emotions doing. And what the David HaMelech here is directing us is saying, ensure that both parts of you are on board. Yes, I know you're devoted to Hashem, that if it says to put on tefillin, you'll put on tefillin. I know you're devoted like that. But are you also devoted to Hashem, that you'll also think what mindset I'm in, to do it in the right mindset? Even with Hashem B'Simcha, it's telling us that we can regulate our emotions, and we're instructed to. We know that already from the Ten Commandments, that we're all expected to regulate our emotions, not to have desire of things that are not out. So the Torah believes in us that we are able to regulate our emotions, and it's telling us to serve Hashem B'Simcha. So that's way number one. That's point number one, just to make dig from that. If it is Hashem, instruction number one. B'Simcha, you're able to do that. In Shoah, when you're doing a cheshbon nefesh, don't only do a cheshbon nefesh of your actions and check, like, what am I doing? Am I doing everything according to Shulchan Aruch? But also, as part of the cheshbon nefesh, you should ask yourself, how am I doing? What's the mindset? Am I doing it with a sense of burden or frustration? Am I doing it with a sense of numbness, neutral? Am I doing it with a sense of joy and happiness? And sometimes it happens that people have come to me and I started to make tshuva and said, like, I know it's time of tshuva, but like, I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. Like, I'm learning Torah, I'm davening, I'm like in a good place. There aren't any avirahs that I know that I'm doing. So like, what am I supposed to do? And halavad, that is the case. And even if that is the case, then simcha is something like, not only the fact that you're doing Torah, the fact you're doing mitzvahs, but what mindset you have towards it, what your attitude is, that's something which is infinitely can grow. There's no like, I've done it. With tefillin, you've done it. Once you put on tefillin, you've done it. And the action is limited. The action, you can say, I've done it. As a check, a V on that, I'm done. But your emotion towards the mitzvah, that's endless on how much you can grow. So the person's looking to do tshuva and come close to Hashem, l'shuva Hashem, that their emotions can go higher and higher. There's no like, I've done that, check. You know? There's always higher levels of connection that a person can feel. So that's one point. If there's Hashem b'simcha. Another point I just wanted to point out was that, to my knowledge, and you're welcome to catch me out on this if someone knows of a pasuk that doesn't fit into this, but to my knowledge, there is no pasuk in the Torah that speaks about being b'simcha outside of the context of Avodas Hashem. Every time you'll find that there's an instruction to be happy, or you're encouraged to be happy, tachas asher lo avadatem et Hashem b'simcha v'tzuv levav. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. So the mitzvah, I know you can quote me something of Hasidus that will say mitzvah gadolat b'simcha tameh, but that's not Torah. I mean, it's not Torah. But I'm looking for Torah sources or Tanakh sources or, yeah. B'chagecha, meaning as Chazal interpreted, through having basar shlamim thing, that's instructing us to have simcha through, because the way Chazal interpreted it was to through doing a specific mitzvah on yontif. Right, to do an action which is to enhance the simcha. But the idea that just to be b'simcha without a connection to a mitzvah, even there it's on yontif, meaning not just to be happy, some. But you're happy because now is a time of joy because of the yontif. There you go,
when Hashem says that coming to
the fact that there could be joy in meeting someone definitely could be, but where do we see an instruction to be happy? Like a mitzvah to be happy. A pasuk to tell us to be happy without reason. Even there, just by the way, interestingly, you're not allowed to make an Erev Tchumen unless it's for the sake of a mitzvah. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, what's an example of a mitzvah that justifies making an Erev Tchumen? Greeting a friend. There's a friend coming who you wish to go and greet, you can. So that's considered a mitzvah also. To see someone who you haven't seen. We make a bracha shechianu if you haven't seen them for a while. Or bracha machayim eisav if it's a long time. So that's also considered a mitzvah of sorts. Even that example. But I'm looking for, yeah, go on. So Eli was with us.
The yayin
yismach
lavanosh.
Say again? That's interesting. Right. But again, we're looking for, that's true that when a person drinks and they're feeling depressed or sitting down, and then the wine can make them happier. But we're looking here for a pasuk which is like the Torah instructing us, or the Hillim or Chazal instructing us to be happy, just to take the happy.
Isn't there a mission that we always discuss about finding out what's the people some sort of pleasant comes on the others we feel a little bit?
Right, so towards other people, if a person has a sour face, then it could cause other people to be sad, and as part of the mitzvah of V'ahavta l'rechaka kamocha, you should greet other people with a pleasant countenance. Now, that definitely is true there. But we're talking about, like, is there a commandment to be happy? Any other thoughts?
Maybe Shana Rishana, isn't there?
That's also to do with the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to get married. There's a mitzvah to get married. There's a mitzvah of getting married and making your wife happy. It doesn't say that you have to be happy. There's a mitzvah to make someone else happy. But samachet ishto asher lakach. There's a mitzvah to bring joy to another person. So where do we see that you have to be happy? It doesn't say that you have to be happy. Not that you shouldn't be, and it's very healthy and natural to be, but it's not a commandment. It shouldn't be a commandment. It should be natural. It should be the person naturally having joy. But what we see from here... Yeah, go on, Moshe.
I guess, yeah, he actually says that you shouldn't be so happy all the time.
Without reason. Without.
You shouldn't be so happy.
Right.
You shouldn't be so happy.
Okay. That's a support for that idea. So I haven't seen anyone say this explicitly, but... I'm not convinced about the phrase mitzvah gadola liyot b'simcha tamid. I'm not convinced about that phrase. At least I don't know a Torah source for it. And on the contrary, all the Torah sources that I've seen are ones that say that joy that a person should have should be through the fulfillment of mitzvah, the fulfillment of Torah. That's the source of where we see joy, where we see pleasure. But that doesn't mean to say that a person is not supposed to be happy all the time. It's wonderful that a person is happy, but you should be anchoring and connecting that happiness to Avodat Hashem. Right. It shouldn't be happiness for the sake of happiness. It should be unhappy. Once I had a close friend, some of the English words, I know him, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt. So when he was in yeshiva, a friend of his got engaged. And he was really happy that his friend got engaged. And he, in his words, was jumping on his bed. And a roommate of his said, you have this simcha, you have this joy, don't let it go to waste. Go say Mizmor L'Todah. Channel it into Avodat Hashem. And like at the beginning it was a strange thing. I'm just happy. But he did it and he said he'd never said Mizutada like that ever before. Or anything him ever like that before. But suddenly he had the emotion and he used it in Avodat Hashem and it was an upliftment. Yeah, Joseph. But that also it's a mitzvah of simcha, but it's mitzvah of simcha in the context of HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle for us and we're rejoicing over the miracle. Right? And the fact that it's only one day shows that it's like within a context of Avodat Hashem, as opposed to just like a general just be happy.
So, in a standard sense, what is the correct emotion to have?
A person should be happy at all times, but it should be emanating from an understanding that I'm a Jew, and I'm a Ben Torah, and that I'm connected to Avodat Hashem, and that I'm making other people happy, I'm involved in mitzvahs. It shouldn't be a joy, just for the sake of joy, without any grounding. Joy should emanate from productivity, from being active in the world, from being positive in the world and doing something valuable. If the joy emanates from value, then it's a worthwhile joy. But if we make joy not based on any values, then we're saying the world is random and it has no basis. There's no purpose. So we're looking for simcha to be an expression of Avodat Hashem. So it goes in both ways. It's you serve Hashem and then you're happy. That's true. And also the other way. And if you find that you're happy, then find a way to channel that to Avodat Hashem. All we're speaking against is not to be happy without any purpose or any meaning. For no purpose. Sometimes it's important to be happy. Like there's a psak, which is that one shouldn't listen to music, let's say, during the certain times, but it should be most extreme during the 9 days. But the post can say that if a person is an almana, for example, and that without listening to music when she feels depressed, she's allowed to listen to music. Because there's no mitzvah, even during the 9 days, of being depressed. There's a mitzvah of not doing actions which express joy at a time when you're supposed to be sensitive to the fact there's no Beit HaMikdash. And listening to music is something which gives a person extra joy. And that's insensitive to the Beit HaMikdash. But if a person is listening to music just to be function normal, they would be depressed and listening to music just to function normal, and they're allowed to listen to music because it's not coming from a place of insensitivity. So that was just an extra point that I want to make. Ivduot Hashem b'simcha. So 2 points we made were, number one, Ivduot Hashem is actions. B'simcha means you're also expected to regulate your emotions and bring joy into Ivduot Hashem. And point number two is that the simcha should be always used in the context of Avodat Hashem, but not happy just to take happiness without any context externally. Va'omer, v'tzadikim yismachu, ya'aluzo lifnei elokim. Yasiso b'simcha. Right? And specifically the tzadikim who are lifnei elokim, when they're involved in being before Hashem, when they're involved in Avodat Hashem, because they're focused on the fact that they're close to Hashem, that's what brings them the joy. And they rejoice over the fact they're happy. That's a beautiful fantastic, no? So yasiso b'simcha, they rejoice. I serve Hashem. I serve Hashem from a place of burden. I'm happy that I'm serving Hashem, but it's still a place of burden. I reach a higher level. I'm serving Hashem and I'm enjoying serving Hashem. And I realize that I'm on a higher level. I'm now connected to Hashem with my emotions as well. They are thieves of the simcha. They can rejoice over the fact that they're serving Hashem with simcha. When you're serving Hashem from a place of burden, then you were happy you're doing the right thing, but you weren't happy about the fact that you had to do it. Once you're happy about serving Hashem, you can rejoice over that level that you've reached, that you're now enjoying what you're doing. Similar to, but not exactly the same, as when a person, if a person zochet, they reach a level where on Yom Kippur they cry. And they're happy about the fact they cry. They're all confused. Am I happy? Am I sad? Like, what's going on? But no, you're rejoicing over the fact that you've reached a level of sensitivity where you're brought to tears in Yom Kippur. The Gilu Barada. So here's the Yasisu Basimcha, they're rejoicing over the fact that they're serving Hashem for Simcha. Chazal also say in Mesechas Shabbos, Ein Hashchina Shora, Ele Mitoch Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Just to emphasize that point again, it doesn't say Ele Mitoch Simcha, it says Ele Mitoch Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Because again, the joy that we're describing here is not a joy stam, not a joy for no reason, but rather a joy of Mitzvah. And in when a person is involved in a Simcha Shel Mitzvah, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. And we know that famously from Elisha, that when Elisha was trying to receive Nevuah, that he was upset about something, so he asked the menagen, the musician, to play music for him, and by listening to music, he was able to bring himself to an emotional state where he felt more connected, he felt happier, and therefore he brought joy on in order to be in a good state, in order to use that so the Shekhinah could come and dwell down. And then he was able to receive the Shekhinah. So I said this, but I didn't say it clear enough, so I just want to say, just to be very clear on this point, if a person is feeling sad, there is a mitzvah to be happy just for the sake of being happy, just to have emotional stability. Even if it's not to do with a mitzvah. Just to be silly and to have fun. Because a person cannot function if they're feeling sad or depressed. So at that point, they don't have to say, I can only have joy if it's mitoch simcha, mitoch a mitzvah. No. There, because they're not feeling in the right, just like an almana, like we spoke about, there's an obligation that a person brings themselves just to being happy and normal and functioning well. So for them to do silly things, to joke around, is totally fine and acceptable and encouraged for a person who's feeling depressed, because they won't be able to serve Hashem properly. But that's not a mitzvah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. Meaning you need to be physically healthy in order to serve Hashem. So you eat food which is healthy food. Is that a mitzvah? It's a hechsher mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to eat, unless it's Shabbat or a Siddur mitzvah, for example. But it's a hechsher mitzvah if your body is not functioning well, then you won't be able to serve Hashem. So you eat food to function normally, and then you're able to serve Hashem. That's in every eating you do a mitzvah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. It's towards the mitzvah. It's not an inherent mitzvah in and of itself, but it's a hechsher mitzvah that enables you to be in a state that you can fulfill mitzvahs, and therefore we encourage it, and it's encouraged. So too, when a person's fit, not just physically, but also emotionally not stable, he's hungry emotionally, and the way to resolve that is by going jogging, or by telling jokes, or by having fun. Stomp, silly thing. Nothing inappropriate, of course, but it's a silly thing. That's just like eating. Is it a mitzvah? It's a hechsher mitzvah. And Chazal tells us an amazing thing. That there were two people who were standing in the marketplace. And Eliyahu HaNavi told one of the Tanaim that these people are going straight to Gan Eden. And he went over to them and he said to them, what do you do? What are you involved in? What do you work at? And they said, we tell jokes. We tell jokes. We find people who are upset and we make them happy. And they go straight to Gan Eden for them. Why? Because they were bringing Shekhinah to the world. They were enabling Shekhinah to come to the world. Other people who weren't able to connect to Hashem because they weren't in a state of joy. And these people would go from person to person and make them happy and make them happy. In other words, enabling people to be in a state where the Shekhinah could dwell. So these people who were jesters, they were jokesters, they were just making other people happy. They weren't even doing mitzvahs per se. But why were they zochas to the Olam Haba? Because Olam Haba is the Shekhinah. And they were enabling the Shekhinah to dwell in the world. They were putting people in a state where people were able to have Shekhinah dwell with them. So they were zochas to go to the place where the Shekhinah was. So there is a value in being besimcha stam when a person is depressed. Because they're emotionally not stable anymore. And they have to come back to being happy. And even with... it doesn't have to be like intense depression. It could be even within a person. They have times they're up and times they're down. And times they feel like they need a break and just to go jogging and just to tell jokes and do silly things. People need that. People need a bit of meshuggah sometimes. Just like kind of feel emotionally stable and emotionally healthy. That's totally fine. That's not what we're speaking out against it. What I was speaking against was when a person's like fine and normal and healthy and everything is good and they could be learning Torah, they could be doing mitzvahs, and they're just doing silly things, stump. They say, oh, the mitzvah to be happy. There's no mitzvah to be happy then. Like, you could be involved in productivity. You could be involved in value-oriented things. Bring the joy out through mitzvahs. That's where the Shekhinah was well. But if a person is not able to function properly, then of course, one should do whatever it takes. Not within halacha. Whatever it takes within halacha, telling jokes, not at his expense, but telling jokes, having fun, and being besimcha in order just to be. So that is what I made back to. Kizot ha-simcha, second line. Regarding the pasuk of Yivdes HaShem b'simcha, the Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Evu, Kishetiyeh omed litpalel, Yehe libecha sameach alecha, Shata mitpalel lerokim, She'en kayotzebo. When you do a mitzvah, there are two aspects of the mitzvah. There's the action of the mitzvah and there's the mindset that you have towards it. The pasuk of Yivdes HaShem b'simcha is an instruction to tell us that as you're about to start davening, first of all, be aware of what you're doing. Be aware of the presence that you're coming to stand before. Be aware of the opportunity that you have and the schus that you have. You're coming to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares specifically about you. And he's interested in the relationship with you. He cares. And to the degree that you're aware of the greatness of what you're doing, it's going to be a much greater act. Mashallah mahadavadom. Imagine that a parent buys a present for a child. The parent can leave the present on the child's bed. The child will just find it then. What's this? Where did it come from? This is fun. I'll play with it. Then you have the action. You have the gift. But there's no relationship being built because it was just there. Alternatively, you can have the parent says, okay, sit on the couch. Oh, I have something for you. Something special. What is it? Now close your eyes. Okay, what is it? I bought you something special because I love you. Oh, what is it? It's exciting. The child goes on the couch and they close their eyes, they put out their hand, and the parent comes and doesn't give them the gift, but gives them a kiss first. And they're like, oh, I must, what are you giving me? And then the child opens their eyes and sees this gift. It's the same gift. But now the gift was an expression of the connection, the relationship between them. Something happened now. It wasn't just a gift existed and just was just there, but rather it was the gift was a way to build an emotion of a connection. Same action. Totally different relationship that was built. Random connection. Two options. So the Yivdes HaShem b'simcha is talking not about davening. It's talking about what frame of mind you're in when you're coming to daven. Davening could be an action. If you hold Dibur as a master. It could be just like an action. But alternatively, it could be an opportunity to connect to Hashem. It's an opportunity where you're developing that relationship. It's Hashem saying to you, okay, close your eyes, take 3 steps back, take it forward, are you ready? And then you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment. The same action, but it's an opportunity to connect. So that's what Rabbi Abel said. Kishtiyah omed litpalel, as you stand up to daven, yeli becha sameach alecha. You should have joy. So the child has joy. Why does the child have joy? Because he's getting an action. But it's more than that. He didn't have the same level of joy when he found it on his bed. When he found his bed, it was like, nice, but where did it come from? What's going on? What's the context? So when he's aware that it's an expression of the love from the parents, then there's a much deeper level of joy, because even if the gift will break, and it always breaks quickly, the love will continue. The expression of having been receiving that gift, that will go on. Even if you finish davening, and you're not involved in the action anymore, but you've built a relationship with Hashem that continues and builds and builds and builds from davening to davening. That's what true joy is. Zoti simcha amitit, says the Mitzvah Hashem. Where your heart is in a state of joy, that you're aware of the schus that you have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'ein kamo, there's nothing else like Hashem. Hashem is your unique parent who deeply loves you. It's happening anyway, but you might not be aware of it. In the first example of the story we gave, anyway it was the parent who gave the gift. It's the same thing that happened. It's the parent giving the gift and the parent giving the gift. It's the same thing. But in the first story, the child wasn't aware that it was the parent, so he just missed out. He received the gift and missed out on the relationship. In the second one, he's aware that it's the parent. He's aware. And therefore, it built a connection. And the difference between this mashal and the nimshal is that in this mashal, it was the parent's responsibility to do the difference. The parent made a mistake by leaving on the bed. The parent did a great gift to the child of telling the child and building up the environment and the havaya, the experience. That was the child. But with this, it's our responsibility. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to remain exactly in a place where we could choose to identify him and connect to him or choose not to. It's a place of free choice. He has to be in that place. Otherwise, it would be too overwhelming. Hashem would say to us, okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Here, you're going to feel it. And we can't not. It would be too overwhelming for us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu always will exist exactly in a place where it's our choice. We can choose to tap in. And then if we do that, we will sense it. Or we could choose not to. And we could totally ignore it. That's the place always where Hashem will stand with us. He moves a bit forward and a bit backwards. Sometimes there's more gilui panim. Sometimes there's more hester panim. But always, there's a spectrum. But it's always in a place where if we choose to look, we'll be able to find. Sometimes it's easier to find. Sometimes there are miracles that are taking place and it's easy to see. But even then, person can deny. Sometimes it's harder to find. There's a great, terrible tragedy that's happening. But even then, someone can see. So there's a spectrum where Hashem is closer and further. He'aras upon him, hesed upon him. But he's always going to be in an arena where if you choose to see, you'll see. And if you choose not to see, you don't have to see. That's the place where Hashem will always be. So therefore, as opposed to the mashal, where it's the parents' responsibility, here in the nimshal, it's our responsibility. Hashem's existing, kivichol, in a place where he's within reach, if we choose to look for him. And if we choose to, and we're besimcha when we do our mitzvahs, then that's the greatest love of Hashem that we can experience. Lasok v'sarosa v'mitzvah she'em ashlim mus amiti v'yakar nitzchi. So here the Mitzvah Shem is just emphasizing the point that we're making, that simcha amiti, the true joy, is to be learning Torah and fulfilling mitzvahs, which are giving us the full shleimus of connection with Hashem, with the mindset that we are doing this in order to connect Hashem. That's the full simcha that a person can have. Let's read that line again. Simcha amitit, the true joy, she'elibosh adam aleiz, that a person is in a state of joy, al shehu zoche la'avod lifnei Adon Baruch Hu. Because your joy emanates from the awareness that you have that you're serving Hashem. And then you serve Hashem. You're doing something inherently valuable by doing Hashem's mitzvahs and learning His Torah, and you're aware of that state you're in. That's Ivdus Hashem b'simcha. You're doing the actions of serving Hashem, and you're aware of it. And therefore that brings you a true joy of the relationship that you're developing through. So Amar Shlomo b'mashal ha'chokhma. And Shlomo Melech says in Shir HaShirim, Mashcheini acharecha narutz. Draw me in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will run after you if you draw me in. Havi'ani ha'melech chadarav. And the king, Hashem, bring me into your inner chamber. Nagila v'nismecha bach. That I can rejoice over you. The joy here is the fact that we're with Hashem. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us opportunities. And He gives us opportunities through doing mitzvahs. But the joy that we have is the recognition that we're with Hashem. The recognition that through learning Torah, we're coming close to Hashem. And if you've learned the book Nefesh L'Chaim, you'll see that what's so amazing, and also Tanya, what's amazing about both Nefesh L'Chaim and Lahavdil, because they come from different backgrounds, but they're ending up at the same source, but they're both saying in different languages, but from the same world, same inner place, they're both saying is that if you serve Hashem from an external place, you'll miss the whole point. But everything in Torah and mitzvahs, the goal is to recognize that you're coming towards Hashem by doing it. And as you become sensitive towards that concept, then you emotionally allow yourself to do it. The truth is that it's happening anyway. If you're doing a mitzvah, you're getting a reward, and objectively you're closer to Hashem. But you might be missing out on that fact that you're doing it, and therefore you're missing out on living in that world, in this world. Our ideal is to already be a ben olam haba here. Not to wait to olam haba to realize that you've done a lot of good, but to be a ben olam haba, even in this world, you can already be acknowledging, recognizing, sensing that shechina of what you're building in the next world. So both of those two books, their whole goal is telling you, do you realize the effect of what you're doing? Do you realize the power of what your actions are having? Do you realize what you're doing is bringing you close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the purpose of those books, to help you recognize that what you're doing in this world is not just an action of Ivdut Hashem, but it's besimcha, the joy of the relationship with Hashem that you're developing. And then you're able to serve Hashem from a totally different emotional place. You're involved and invested in your service to Hashem because you've realized what effect it's having. Ki kol ma shezocheh ha'adam likanes yoter lifnim v'chadrei yediyat kadotoy tvorach. The more that a person is zocheh to enter the inner world. And what does it mean here by the inner world? Of recognizing Hashem. Kol ma shezocheh ha'adam likanes yoter lifnim v'chadrei yediyat kadotoy tvorach. Where you're aware of Hashem and His greatness and His involvement as well. By the way, greatness, in the Hebrew word gadol, always means recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as, on the one hand, very great, but at the same time connected to the world. The Malbim writes, the word Ram is where you see Hashem as lofty. And the word Gadol is where you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as grounded in this world, connected to this world, but at the same time very high. Like you wouldn't say about a tower that it's Ram, but you would say about a cloud that it's Ram. About a tower you would say it's Gadol, because it's starting on the ground and it goes very, very high. That's why we say, Aleinu l'shabeach la'adon hakol, latet gedula le'yotzer bereshit. Why gedula? Because other people in this world see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as disconnected. Our role, Am Yisrael's role as a nation, is to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very present in this world. Our way of praising Hashem is latet gedula, to show the people in the world that not only is He Ram, the Goyim understand that He's Ram as well, Ram hu al kol Goyim, they know that He's Ram. Disconnected, they're fine with that, they're happy with that actually. Our role in this world is to show that He's Gadol, that He's involved and invested in this world. So Gadol means that you're aware that you can have a connection with Him here in this world. not only in the next world, sometime I'll connect to him, but already here in this world, I'm able to recognize and sense and relate. So the more that a person is zoche to enter lifnim, the chadrei yediat gedulato yitbarach, to be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gadlut. In other words, to recognize that he's infinite and he's beyond us, but at the same time, we're able to recognize him and sense him and have a relationship with him in this world. Yoter tigdal bo hasimcha. And then the true joy will grow and grow. Because joy actually comes from fulfilling your purpose. If you have kochos, and you don't express those kochos, then you won't be happy. You'll feel like not fulfilled. But when you have kochos, and you fulfill those kochos, you feel those kochos being expressed, then you'll feel joy. Here I am, I have this talent, I have this ability, I have this power, and I'm using it in service of Hashem. So Am Yisrael's national koach, not what's unique to every individual, but as a nation, as a Jewish people, what's our mission in this world is bringing Hashem into the world, acknowledging Hashem in this world, connecting to Hashem as presence in this world. And therefore the true joy that we have is when we're involved in learning Torah, which is connecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to this world, and seeing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressed in this world. By us learning of Torah and thinking practically, what does that mean? So what's the nafka min? And we're bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. And that's Am Yisrael's nation. And therefore the true joy will come when we see Yad Hashem expressed in this world. Through halacha, through learning Torah. That's our purpose. And we feel joy in accordance to our purpose. Since the Jewish people's purpose is to praise Hashem as an expression in this world, we'll only feel, we'll feel a deeper level of joy the more we'll see Hashem as an expression in this world. And that's why, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you learn something which speaks in very lofty terms, not only do you often not feel elevated from it, but you feel like, so what does that actually say and what does that mean? So it's too lofty. You don't see how it's practical. But if after reading something lofty, you see some point of connection, like the Nefesh HaChaim does. The Nefesh HaChaim will speak that lofty term, and then he'll like bring it down to that's the way you daven, or that's the way you learn, or that's the way you do a mitzvah. If you're able to take that lofty place and then see it as grounded in some way, then the fact that it was lofty gives you a great sense of simcha. Because suddenly you realize that what I'm doing in this world is broader and greater than I even realized. So something lofty and disconnected makes you feel frustrated. Like, it sounds amazing, but I don't know what to do with it. It just gives me a headache. But if you see something lofty and you realize how, and that's what I'm doing when I learn, that's what I'm doing when I do a mitzvah, I'm actually doing that lofty thing here in this world, it gives us a great sense of joy. Because you realize you're doing something, something much greater. Let's tell one story and then we'll pause. I have a friend who learned in Cambria Avenue who actually just made Aliyah. Mikey LeBrett, doesn't know. And I've told the story before, but I love it, so I'm going to tell it again. I went to visit him in Manchester when he lived there. He now lives in Rehovot, as of 2 weeks ago. And when I went to visit him, I asked him, what do you do? And he said, I'm doing a PhD in biology. I said, so what do you do? Like, practically, what do you do? So he said, I take research that's already been researched, and I rerun the test. And there's data, and he's like rerunning the test and checking if the data is correct. And I said, and do you enjoy? He said, I love it. I said, so what do you actually do? You're rerunning a test and checking the data that's already been tested, and just sit there for hours and hours in the laboratory doing a test, checking, writing down the results, doing this on the list. You love that? So he said, it's cancer research. Like, I'm looking for a cure for cancer. I know that what I'm doing is contributing towards solving a disease which kills people. I said, and if you wouldn't know that, but you would just know that this is what you've been told to do as a clerk, you know, an assistant in the laboratory, run this test, it would be awful. It would be terrible. I would go out of my mind. I said, so why don't you go out of your mind? Because the action is taking you out of your mind. He says, because it's cancer research. I said, look at that. That's amazing. It's amazing. If you're doing something lofty, but you're not aware that it's lofty, and you're only involved in the technicalities of it, then you feel frustrated and bored. Why am I doing this? If a person is involved in doing mitzvahs, but he's not aware that it's bringing him close to Hashem, another mitzvah, and another perek, and another mesechta. I'm like, how much do I keep this going for? Your whole life. Oh my gosh. Every detail is a burden, and another burden, and another burden. Like, I have to stop. That's too much for me. But if you suddenly realize, yes, maybe sometimes the technicalities of mesechta and adorim are very finicky and finite. But when you realize that you're bringing Shechina down into the world, cancer research, you're doing something great, you're doing something broad, you're making a difference. It's amazing. And it gives me the power to be involved in details and feel fulfilled and feel like I'm doing something valuable and worthwhile. Credit to Mike a little bit for that insight that I had. Shakwa. public service announcement. Is there anybody interested in laning this week?